This morning, I would like to speak tonight on commonplace Christianity. Our churches are full of good meaning, good intending, Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians, to a point. And this book of James is a call for Christians to be aware of their need for spiritual growth and development, to become more complete in Christ, to grow in that maturity. And by the way, maturity doesn't come of age. I've known younger people who are young Christians who are more mature in some respects than some Christians who have been saved for many, many years and members of a church for a very long time. Folks, your age does not automatically give you the indication that you are mature. I've met people who physically, 50, 60 years old, not very mature at all. And I've met the other young. Now, I know typically that's not necessarily how it is. But the reality is that we have so many Christians who have become complacent. And that's why we need these meetings. That's why we need revival. Because we fall back into a state of lifelessness, as it were. Not having lost spiritual life, we understand that, but to where we become basically a breathing corpse, spiritually speaking. We come to church, we sit down, we fill the pews, we put in a couple of dollars into the offering plate, We might even do a couple of things to assist here in the ministry. But other than that, that's about as far as it goes. And the reality is that God is not happy with that. And it is not an indication that we are where we should be at spiritually, that we are not growing in our maturity, because a mature Christian is a person who is vibrant, a person who is involved, a person who is fervent for the Lord, a person who has an intensity about doing the will and the work of the Lord. So then, we need to have an understanding of what commonplace Christianity is, note the dangers of it, and then resolve that we will, as we would find ourselves slipping into that commonplace Christianity from time to time, as we all do, there's none of us who have not at some time or other gotten into that place, that we resolve to get out of it with God's grace, God's strength, and that we would pursue a Christian life that would be a greater light and salt and testimony to those around us. So then, let's look at a passage that everybody knows by heart. Look at verse 22. It says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Notice, first of all, the careful look. Did I get your attention? The careful look. Folks, do you realize that the first thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is not a condemnation, but rather a commendation? When it says beholding in verse 23 and verse 24, it means a couple of things. First of all, it means a close examination of oneself. This word, behold, means to observe fully, to consider, to even discover. So this is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for you to come to church. It's not a bad thing for you to sit under the teaching and the instruction of God's Word. It's not a bad thing for you to have devotional helps. It's not a bad thing to have commentaries and so forth. And that's what we need. We need Christians who are intent hearers of the Word of God. We need Christians who will be faithful to coming to church on a regular basis, who will be faithful in their private devotional and Bible study times. This is a good thing. This is the first part of a Christian's life that it just is mandatory. It's absolutely necessary. This is a good thing. Giving a close examination of oneself. And we know the parallel here. when it says looking into that mirror, obviously back then it was a typically a metal, maybe brass, that was highly polished, and people would look in it just like we look in our mirrors. And when you look in the mirrors, you begin to see things, right? Especially the older you get, you know, things begin to change, and you wake up and one morning you realize that one side of your face is on the other side, and there's something, you know, like, okay, I got to do something about it, and my hair is standing on, you know, on edge. And of course, mine does that naturally, so I don't have any excuse. That's just how it's supposed to be, you know. But you know, sometimes maybe you wake up and it looks like you put your finger in the electric socket, you know, and I don't know, but you why do you look into the mirror? Into a physical mirror, to see what might be wrong, to see what might need to be changed. And here's what happens. We look into the Word of God, which is a reflection. It reflects back to us what God needs to work on in our lives and develop us and help us with. And most of the time, we as Christians will agree with it. Most Christians agree with the Word of God. That's the right thing. That's a good thing. If you don't trust the Word of God, if you don't believe in the Word of God, you have a major issue to begin with. You need to go back to even considering where your faith stands, what it is based upon. Because if it's not based upon the truth of God's Word, you really don't have a leg to stand on. So that's critical. But as you agree with it, that is just a part of the process. If I were to start teaching on some Bible doctrines about, you know, the Word of God and talk to you about soteriology and ecclesiology and all these big, you know, 25-cent words, probably you all would stand in very close agreement with what was being revealed as I would maybe impart the Word of God and break forth the Word of God. You'd say, yes, that's right. We agree. We see this. We read this. We believe that. I can bring forth different Bible principles and you say, yes, I agree with that. That's important. That's good. That's needful. And you would be a person that gives a close examination of the Word of God and pay heed to it. That's where this begins. The careful look is a close examination. Secondly, it's a considerable time given to looking. It's not, as I have heard before, it's not a quick glance. It's not like, you know, junior high age boys or junior age boys who, you know, they might once a year look in a mirror, but the rest of the time they could care less. You know, they don't care what they look like. They don't care what they smell like. They don't care about anything but having fun and being a boy and, you know, doing whatever, you know, is set out before them. But besides that group, most of us, when we look in the mirror, it's more than just a cursory glance. Usually, we spend an elongated period of time looking into the mirror so that we can give a closer examination of ourselves and see what is there. The two go hand in hand. There are some folks here that you read much of the Word of God on a daily basis. You are faithful to being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings such as this, missions conferences, if you have those, other special times of services that you might have throughout the year. And you are faithful to giving a considerable time to God's Word. Folks, that's good because it means that you're giving that careful look that all Christians must have as a basis in their lives. So this is right. And this is good, and this is commendable, but notice secondly the careless actions. Here's what happens in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Two things here, two careless actions. First of all, he leaves without changing his condition. The commonplace Christian, the hearer only, we'll say, is someone who spends much time in the Word of God, who gives a careful examination of themselves. In light of God's Word, you'll stand in agreement, You'll shake the pastor's hand and say, hey, good message. But after having given considerable time, after having looked closely into the mirror of God's Word and realizing there is stuff that needs to be changed, there is stuff that needs to be dealt with in my life, instead of taking immediate action, you leave without changing that condition. In other words, you don't get it right with the Lord. You don't make a decision and then begin to work on that area of your spiritual life that needs addressing. Now, ladies, don't throw any hymn books at me, okay? All right? I'm not picking on you. I'm not trying to be mean. But let's be democratic about it. All right, here. How many of you all would say, typically, that ladies spend more time in front of the mirror than men? Who would say that? Come on, let's be brave now. Who would say that? All right, the rest of you are all liars or chicken, one or the other. Okay? And we have a general consensus here that ladies typically will spend... Why is that so? Because, guys, we can't do anything about ourselves, right? We're just helpless, hopeless. We're stuck. And ladies, you're stuck with us. And so that's just the way it is. But, ladies, let me ask you a question. If you were to wake up and you were to have... You know, some important engagement, some kind of meeting or I don't know, whatever. You just use your imagination. You had somewhere important to be. You wake up in the morning and you go and you look in the mirror and you see that your hair is all out of whack and, you know, this needs taken care of and this needs fixing and, you know, get the chainsaw out and put the war paint on and do whatever. You know, and as you start to do this, you know, I mean, you realize you're taking inventory. As you see, oh man, I need to do this. Yes, I need to do that. Okay, remember to do that. Would you then, after taking that and seeing that, go into your car, hop in your car in your original condition, and go off to that important engagement as you were? Now, unless it was a very important emergency, most of you women probably never dream of doing something like that, would you? Now, us guys would because it doesn't matter. But for you ladies, you wouldn't dream of doing that. You would prepare yourself. You would not only acknowledge what was there, but then you would do something about it. But this is the difference. This is where so many Christians have the problem. We agree, we acknowledge, we spend the time, we'll admit, but then when it comes right down to it, we won't follow through with appropriate change that will make us a better, more complete, more useful, and can I even say more presentable Christian. We leave in the same state that we came in. We leave the area where we had our devotions the same as when we first entered. And that is a careless action. That's why we live defeated lives. That's why we are defeated. And we fall to sin. Because as we see what needs to be developed, as we see what needs to be changed, when we don't take action, we're being very careless with our lives. Which leads to a second careless action. Notice back in verse 24 it says, "And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So the second careless action is forgetting quickly what was revealed. How many of you have ever forgotten something? I mean, all of us have, right? You get up in the morning and you think, man, I've got to get this done. I've got to, you know, whatever. I've got to pay the mortgage today. If I don't, they're coming after me. They're going to take the home away. So I got to pay that today. And so you get up and you're fully intending to write out that bill and send it off and take care of it, when all of a sudden something else comes up. And so you take care of that, which then makes you think about some other chore that you have to do, and then you do that. And all throughout the day you get busy and you go throughout your work and handling family and all this other stuff, and the end of the day comes and you sit down and you take a deep breath, and then that horrible feeling sinks in and you say, oh no, I forgot to pay the mortgage. You know, we've all done similar things like that? Because many times we knew what we should do right away, but for some reason we postponed it, which led to forgetfulness. You know, folks, I am not an evangelist who is about people walking the aisle to fill my ego. Now, we give invitations, and I give invitations, so that if the Lord is working in your heart and convicting you of a spiritual matter, you have the opportunity to take care of it right then and there. That's why we do it, so that you can be a doer of the Word of God. Because here's the reality is this. If you are convicted, if you are in agreement with the Word of God, but you put it off and you don't take immediate action, one of the natural things that's going to happen next is that you will forget the Word of God. You will forget what was revealed. You will forget the conviction that God laid on your heart about that particular matter. And 10 minutes later, as you're going to lunch, you can't even recall the first point to the pastor's message. And as we forget, we go on with our lives and we stay in a commonplace manner of Christianity. One that is not pleasing and not acceptable to God, which results with Christians who don't have a proper understanding of trials, as we find in James 1, who go on to have lives that do not reflect that they are genuine Christians, as you begin to see with chapter 2, James beginning to address them, that your faith needs to be evidenced by your works. Commonplace Christianity leads to people who are out of control with their fleshly passions, as you would even read later on in the chapter, how you know the man is supposed to be aware of how powerful the tongue is, to extending that to where Christians are divisive, they are warring and striving with one another and with other people, and therefore their prayer lives are meaningless. God isn't answering. Folks, do you understand? This commonplace situation, this commonplace Christianity sets people in a dire problem, a horrible condition. And it is just because of two careless actions, leaving without changing one's condition and forgetting quickly what was revealed. My desire is not that you walk the aisle every night. My desire is not that you start making emotional decisions. My desire is that as God would confront you and as God would speak to your heart and to your life, that you would take immediate action so that it will continue to ingrain itself in your heart and your life so that you would carry on and be a more complete, more mature believer who stays on fire for God. So, the careful look, the careless actions, but then third of all, notice the costly results. Look at verse 22 quickly, please. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I don't know about you, but I don't like being deceived. You know, there's so much out there that is trying to get your money. And, you know, everything from certain infomercials to just regular commercials, you know, hey, you brush your teeth with Crest, you know, extra white straightening for 6 months, you know, 40 times a day, and you'll have, you know, gleaming white teeth, you know, that little, you know, ding sparkle deal, you know. And so you go out and you buy the 6 months of toothpaste and you brush 40 times a day, and they still look just as horrible as the day that you started. And you've paid out all that money. You know, these infomercials, you know, telling you, hey, you buy our piece of equipment and you'll look like He-Man in just 10 minutes a day, three times a week. You know, you get, so, oh yeah, I want to be He-Man. So you get that thing and you have problems putting it together because it's so junky, you know, you almost bend it in half. And then you work out for, you know, a couple times and you realize that it's just not what it says it was. I'm not saying that everything that's advertised is that way, but a lot of it is. and you're being deceived and robbed of your money. But there's a greater deception, folks. There's a self-deception. Have you ever met someone who's self-deceived? As a youth pastor, I have, because teenagers can be very self-deceived. I've met some who they thought that they were God's gift to sports, and then they got absolutely schooled on the court or on the field and quickly realized, hey, there's other people who are way better than I am. Musicians, others who were, you know, very, very smart, very intellectual, only to have someone show up and reveal how much more they knew. And it kind of burst the bubble and the ego and kind of brought them down a few notches. You know, here's the problem, folks. When we live commonplace Christian lives, we are living deceived lives. In what respect? In what manner? We are living deceived lives if we think that we are living a life that indicates any kind of true spiritual maturity and growth and development in Christ. We are deceiving ourselves that if we think that we can go on with our life as a Christian as it is in a commonplace condition and thinking that God is going to continue to honor and bless us when we stand in need of change. We are deceiving ourselves if we think that by maintaining a commonplace Christianity that we are going to have a continued helpful outreach to the lost around us, and that our ministry is going to grow and prosper, and that God is going to raise up more young men and women for full-time service. We are deceiving ourselves if that's what we think, and yet maintain this condition. It's a deceived life. It's also a bereft life. Look at verse 25. It says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Only the man who is a hearer and a doer of the Word of God is said to be blessed in his deed, as he would seek to live for the Lord, as he would seek to be committed and growing and developing and maturing in Christ, revealing through his works that he is a genuine born-again believer. This is the man that God is going to, the idea here is going to consistently, continually bless and direct in his life. Folks, God blesses us all. Even the fact that we're even breathing is a blessing from God. But you know that there are some Christians, even in this church, who it just seems like there's a special hand of blessing upon them. No doubt that comes from the fact that they are Christians who are not content to be commonplace. Their personal walk with the Lord, their personal development, their personal maturity is meaningful. It's vital to them. And they pursue it. And therefore, God's hand of direction and blessing and completing is upon them. You don't see that with just the hearer. This is only given, this is only attested to the guy who is a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. We miss out on so much of God's blessings when we maintain a commonplace Christianity. And commonplace Christianity is why, again, we need these times of revival. So may I ask you in closing tonight, where are you? What condition are you in spiritually right now? Are you commonplace? Have you been a careful hearer of the Word? That's good. But have you been careless in your actions? Not changing your condition when you, as you see God is working in your life and showing you what needs to be done. Are you forgetting quickly what He's revealing to you, therefore adding to the problem of your situation? Have you forgotten that there are some costly results of a deceived and a bereft life? The beginning of revival starts when God's people can acknowledge that there is a problem. And this is a problem that we must be willing to acknowledge happens in our lives and that we must be willing to correct. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray, dear God, that tonight the Word of God has been understandable as I've sought to proclaim it. And dear Lord, so many times it's not easy for us to see that mirror and to acknowledge what is there. And sometimes it's even harder to be willing to follow through with the appropriate actions. Dear Lord, tonight I pray that as the Word of God has gone forth, that You would so stir those who are here that have stood in need of this message, that they would tonight acknowledge where they are spiritually, acknowledge that they're living a commonplace life, and that they would come, make that right before You, and then begin to pursue a life that reflects the reality that they are seeking to be a careful hearer and also a careful doer of the Word. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed tonight, perhaps you would say, Brother Scott, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But tonight, I have to acknowledge that currently my life is in a commonplace condition. Because I've not been doing the Word of God. I've not been changing my spiritual condition as God has revealed those things that need working. I've been forgetting quickly what the words have revealed, and that has affected, obviously, what I have not changed. And tonight, I want to be more of a serious Christian who will pursue being a hearer and a doer of the Word. Folks, I know you've heard this passage preached upon. I know you've heard these verses exposited before. But if you find yourself in this condition, will you not acknowledge it and begin to change that by God's grace and help? If that is your burden, if that is your need of heart tonight, would you be willing to raise your hand and say, that is my need. Would you pray for me that I would change that with God's help? Thank you. Just quietly lift the hand, put it up in the air so I can see it, and then put it back down. Thank you. Yes, several hands. Thank you. Anybody else, just quietly raise the hand up in the air, put it back down. Maybe tonight you would say, this doesn't make sense to me because I'm not even sure what it means to be a Christian. We'd love to take the Word of God and show you what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is someone who's placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. If you've never done that, maybe you'd be willing to say, you know, I'd like to know what it means to be a Christian. I'd like to know what it means to be saved. And would you pray for me that I'd have the courage to step forward and let someone show me from the Bible what those things mean? Would you pray for me? If there's anybody like that in the room tonight, would you be willing just to quietly raise your hand? Say, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I am a Christian, that I am saved. Anybody like that, just raise the hand in the air. I won't embarrass you. Heavenly Father, please take and guide during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastors here at the front, as they play the hymn of invitation, why don't you come? If God has worked in your heart, why don't you respond? Maybe you need to come here to the front, kneel, and pray. Take immediate action. That's what we talked about earlier. Maybe because of some health reasons or whatever, it would be better for you to sit in your seat in the pew and you do business with God. Maybe you need to go home tonight, get beside yourself, and do business with God for a while. Take some inventory, make some changes, Make some decisions that are going to help you to avoid being a commonplace Christian. Whatever God's working on, you respond as they play.